Welcome back. I hope, however, you spent the time that had a quality of nurturance and rest, perhaps. So, as I said, we'll just move into the sit, and I want to invite each of us to take our seats and invite in a sense of alertness, awakeness into the body. And it's not so important what form the body's in, if some of you might want to do lying down meditation or standing, sitting, but this cultivating an attitude really of meeting the nobility of the practice. So again, inviting in a really an internal sense of nobility. Kind of there are noble truths that we are working with week after week. How do we live a life of more freedom, more ease? Oh, as we take our seats as daughters of the Buddha sitting in circle, I like to think as women have always done, allowing yourself to take your place in this circle of Dharma sisters, whether it's your first time here or you've been here since the beginning back in the day with Deborah and Julie. And again, as we did in the arriving sit, just to take a moment to arrive in this body. As Philip Moffat has the three A's of arriving, aligning ourselves with a commitment to showing up for the practice, and then being available to ourselves, to the teachings. So again, just in these very early moments of the sit, just positioning ourselves energetically, physically, as we undertake this mind training of this practice. And for our anchor of the sit today, I want to invite us to keep 50-60% of our attention in the body. Perhaps that just means allowing there to be some consistent resting attention on the pressure or the weight of our body on the chair, the cushion, the bed, the couch, whatever we're sitting upon, or our feet on the floor. And inviting in a sense of a, almost like keeping a finger on the pulse of our body. To stay embodied, to remember, oh yeah, we're in this body. It could be noting the pressure of hands holding each other. And then with the other 40% of our attention, just again, resting in that place of the observer watching the thinking mind. And I'm intentional about asking for a somewhat divided attention because being able to strengthen our capacity to stay embodied when we work with the mind can be so helpful. As I'm sure many of us have experienced that ease of sort of moving up into the mind and then sort of losing ourselves in thought. And so, one way of anchoring ourselves in the body. Anchoring ourselves in the present moment is to keep some attention in the body. And then just watching, oh, this is what the mind is doing, watching those patterns, those thoughts that can be so repetitive. Oft given image of the mind like the blue sky, and then these clouds come through. And as we watch the clouds moving through, we keep our feet on the earth. So we can feel anchored in the physical body. And then allowing ourselves to be available. To noticing the movement of these thought clouds that come and go, arise and pass away across this backdrop of the vast, spacious blue sky mind. And just to notice, again, gentle curiosity, oh, this is what the mind does when I really watch it without any judgment or need for it to be otherwise. Like, hey, check this out. This is what the mind is doing. And this is how it is to anchor myself in the body and notice the thought patterns, these clouds of the mind as thoughts come and go. And very inevitably, there will be some thoughts that are more compelling or seductive when we travel along with those clouds for a bit and then realize, oh, wait, can I wake back up to being lost in thought? Come back to the body and come back to that place of observing the thinking mind. And please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, and we notice, oh, it's like this. Okay. And we keep making space for how it is. Okay. It's just like this. Thank you for ringing the bell. And as always, so lovely to sit together. And today, on this 8th day in December, first day after the gorgeous cold moon, full moon of December, I wanted to play around with the themes of the threads, shall I say, of the water element, and the uncertainty that we live with all the time, the sense that we are in a way, a transition with solstice just a few weeks away, and this sort of movement into the darkness and the coming of the light. It's transitory time, and yet really we are always in a transitory time. Sometimes just that it's more alive for us, but as Joseph Goldstein says, everything is always on the edge of becoming otherwise. We just don't know well. We don't know when. Sort of, we can be in good health and then the next day we're not. We're in a relationship and the next day we're not. We have a job, the next day we don't, right? These changes that can be sudden or kind of change over a stretch of time. But being able to anchor ourselves in this sense of, well, we're always in some form of transition. Sometimes it just appears less so, right? These are the teachings of impermanence. Right, all that arises passes away, and being able to land in this place almost as a refuge, like this is how it's supposed to be, because so often we can fight against the changes or the losses or that the belief that some of us sort of grew up with, well, it's sort of our fault or something that we've done wrong, that things didn't work out or that changed. And it's like, oh, sweetie, this is the nature of this realm. All that we come in contact with, we will lose. So in this place of transition, and as on an elemental level, as this time of year, how do we anchor ourselves in a way, and last week speaking about equanimity, this grounding, how do we play with that? So I'm going to start with this. So this is from the book, John O'Donohue's The Four Elements. And this poem, it's a little bit long, but I'm going to share it and we'll see how it goes. It's called The Well. And he writes, one of the most interesting shapes relating to water is the well. The well is a water line that connects the dark and unknown underworld of the earth with the surface where air, light, and space prevail. And I was so captured by that description of a well, certainly. We can all have an image of what a well is, but what he's pointing to is this this threshold, really, between that which is dark and the underworld and that which is light, which we're not quite at solstice yet, but it's coming. We're moving in that direction. And this sort of transitory place that this, as the days are darkening or have been darkening in some parts of the world, is the moisture's there, the rain, the snow. And and some level, the body wanting to kind of just cocoon in and to steady in and become familiar with or allowing ourselves access to these darker places, right? It's dark outside. And can we allow ourselves permission? Can we feel safe enough to turn towards that which is uncertain and unknown? And so this image of the well, and he writes, the well beneath. This mountain resents the thin fields that reach the surface where the blue distance starts to infuse their soil with other longings. Groves of hazel soothe them. Yellow lichen holds light on stone. Briars take years to chain the walls whose shelters grow a grass that is sweet. With the ease of a flow of breath, a well slips up through a crevice, seamless lengths of silver water uncoil anew each moment. Sure. In its fluency of form, water never goes outside its own desire, but inhibits the offered shape and keeps to itself, even when gravity drives it the blind way through the solitude of rock. Inside the mountain where nothing has ever gone, its tongue coarse with sand rasped from their perfect sleep. This well that light turns silver knows the heavy smell of clay that never saw the moon or felt the white bristle of wind or the lace of light through rain. It flows from the dark mother of absence where nothing stirs, as if without mercy, it flounces along the sore ground adroit and aloof from the fester of grass and root that reach toward its refreshing. And this beautiful imagery of this well and the movement of water. The water never moves outside its own desire, but inhabits the offered shape and keeps to itself, even when gravity drives it the blind way through the solitudes of rock. And in some ways, this is our life, right? The way that we move, it is constantly into that which is unknown, right? Something's always changing. Things are always in transition. We move our way through uncharted land, right? It may feel familiar and we can become sort of seduced into, I've arrived and I'm going to stay here. And sort of with enough years behind us, we realize, yeah, not necessarily, right? Things will always be changing. And in this way of identifying in some ways with this, this image of the water as it's embodied in the well, moving through, pulled by gravity. You know, I spoke last week of these, the laws that our lives are bound by the laws of the natural world. Our lives are bound by gravity, right? Much like as in this image of the water moving, can we give ourselves a permission to have access to this flow into the unknown, moving towards its own refreshing, right? We are moving ourselves towards our own awakening. Otherwise, we wouldn't be coming to this class, right? There's a desire for a sense of ease and understanding the conditions of our mind to find that place of freedom, whether it's a momentary or developing that skill to be at ease with the natural flowing of our life. Sorry, I'm going to switch gears to share. Another image of the water by Judy Sorum Brown, Trough. There's a trough in waves, a low spot where horizons disappear and only sky and water are our company. And there we lose our way unless we rest, knowing the wave will bring us to its crest again. There we may drown if we let fear hold us within its grasp and shake us side to side and leave us flailing, torn, and disoriented. But if we rest there in the trough, our silent being with the low part of the wave, keeping our energy and noticing the shape of things, the flow, then time alone will bring us to another place where we can see horizon, see land again, regain our sense of where we are and where we need to swim. Can we, again, this resting in. So with the image of the well water moving itself to its own refreshing, even in there, there's an invitation. Can we rest, almost a surrendering into, okay, this is the movement. And with the image of the trough, can we rest in the trough, silent, being with the low part of the wave? And inherent in this ask is trust. I've of late become synonymizing, if that's a word, trust and belief in the Pali word of sadha, which is faith, often translated, or a different translation, sort of what do we rest our heart upon? And in some ways, it feels like this poem is asking us, can we rest our heart on that trough? Can we trust we will come back up? Yeah. Without, we may, the waves may crash on us. Can we trust that we will be buoyed enough by the support of the water and carried such that we can regain our sense of where we are and where we need to swim? Where is the necessary place? I think how, through the practice, we can orient of where we need to swim. It's by continually brushing away the hindrances that keep us from knowing what's true, that keep us in that place of either fear, hatred, and delusion, or keep us in the place of grasping or aversion. And as we undertake the training to really look at the mind, the invitation for the anchor today, can we steady ourselves in the body, watch the flow of the mind, to understand what's true, what's sort of what's more flotsam jetsam of thoughts, and really getting to the place of clarity about the thoughts themselves, are insubstantial, ephemeral? And then what's true? What can we rest our heart upon that we know to be true, that which we value, the qualities of our heart, our own goodness? That these can be the buoys as we rest in the trough, as we will be bounced around by the conditions of life. Yeah. Along the themes of uncertainty, The Uncertainty Principle by Kathleen Norris. We change it by looking what's moving in the heart or the farthest star. And when people are true believers, we may know of the mystery, how it works, or if it does, but not the two together. Here at the Abbey, bells confide the hour. A scientist could tell how crude a means, how inexact they are. Time does not move. The sky is not blue. The end of the spectrum and the beginning of light. It is all in us, breathed in, let go. Monks shift in their choir, stomachs in the old floor groan through the homily. Here in the heart, where hours keep, we are learning eternity every step of the way. And here too, this invitation to step out of sort of the conditioned sense of time and movement into that we are learning eternity every step of the way by being able to drop into what is true. This sort of these laws of that all that arises passes away, nothing is permanent, perfect. Can we take refuge in these truths as we navigate the reality of the changing circumstances, the uncertainties of our lives, and not knowing what's next? You know, as we are in these darkening days, coupled with the arrival of the coming holidays, can be jarring for folks, their level of expectations of what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be busy out in the world. And as I mentioned before last week, this with the arrival of this holiday season can come so many different feelings, right? The excitement perhaps of getting together with family, the dread of getting together, loneliness, loss, all of it is here. And how can we allow ourselves to cultivate a positioning to say, okay, yes, this too. And may the images of the water, this flow, that water that moves within us, this form of ours, this made of 78% water. John O'Donohue said 90, I'm not sure if it's that high, but we are in this water element, and key to the water element is this sense of flow. We can feel it in our own bodies, working with it on the elemental level, as we often do, but also aligning ourselves with the sense of flow in our lives, moving towards our own refreshing, moving that to our own clarity of where we next need to swim. Part of what I know for myself is a key component to this, is this element of patience. Kima, it's one of the paramis, the 10 perfections of the heart. Can we be patient with ourselves, be patient with the sense of flow? Water does not outrun its own desire. You know, it stays contained within ourselves. In order for us to stay contained within ourselves without needing things to move more quickly or needing others to move more quickly, we can achieve that by resting in this place of patience. A little bit from there. I don't know if you can see all these stickers, but the Parami book, Ajahn Suchito's Parami book on patience. And patience deals with the checking emotional reactions, but it's not a denial of emotional intelligence. Patience has the gut knowledge that recognizes that a problem or a pain is not something to run away from, get flustered by, or be self-pitying about. It has the wisdom to know that we have to prioritize the steps through which we can resolve suffering. It's true that it may be possible to find an alternative route to the destination. It may well be that more negotiations are needed to resolve problems, but the first thing to do is not react, to not rage or despair or mentally proliferate. Our first effort is to draw a line around the suffering, take a step back and say, that's that. then there's the effort to recollect, that we can be free of the suffering, that we can let go. We don't have to take suffering in and adopt it as final, real, or solid. After that initial recollection, we have the encouragement to investigate and then draw out the hooks that snag our hearts on the rough stuff of life. Yeah. Okay, and we have the patience and also that gentle curiosity that can again buoy us to have the encouragement to investigate and then draw out the hooks that snag our heart on the rough stuff of life. I love this image. Yeah, because we can be so caught on those rough hooks, believing them to become solidified, concretized, and real. And that patience, along with its sister of discernment, allows us to see, okay, where is there movement that's possible? Things don't have to be so fixed. That we can shift in our mind's perception of things, in our mind's attitude. We can release things that no longer serve us. We are not, our minds are not fixed and solid, although certainly sometimes it can feel that way, right? We can have a belief structure that's like, this is so fixed. And yet with a sense of patience, okay, let's see what's actually here. That's that. This is what I'm suffering. That's that. It's not about kind of a blind acceptance or an apathy, but more, okay, let's pause here and see what's actually true. And what can I make choices about? How do I want to orient to what's happening in a way that leads me to a place of greater freedom, less suffering? Yeah. And as I said in the beginning, in the arriving sit, that this ability we have to observe the thoughts allows us to make these choices. Yeah, that we can put a circle around the suffering and say, okay, that's that. And then watch how the mind may vociferate and stay in that circle. And as we cultivate this muscle of observing that, we can say, actually, no, I'm going to bring the mind somewhere else. To be, and by doing so, bringing the mind back, we can also bring our attention back into the body. Grounding in the body and perhaps availing ourselves again of this water element of flow. Okay, water's always moving. You know, it's always on the way somewhere else, be it through the solitude of a mountain, through the crevice. And can we align ourselves with the truth of the water element as we can manifest it in our own lives? So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And that was a lot of words. So just sort of taking a moment and reconnecting back with your body. And if you're willing just to play with how can you allow yourself to drop into this water element and just on a tactile level to saliva in your mouth, the moisture in the eyes, just letting the attention just rest there. Oh yeah, this water element is alive and well in this body. Say nothing of the myriad of fluids that constantly circulate and move through the body, right? This water element. Say 70-80% of this body is water. And can you take a few moments here just to see if you can rest in this water element? And for some of us, it may be helpful to have a mental picture of the water. Be it a picture of a wave, if you're a surfer, a river, a mountain creek, that trough from the earlier poem. And as we can hold an image of a body of moving water in the mind's eye and acknowledging as it is externally, so it is internally. And seeing if it's possible to really align ourselves with this flow of the water. Water that does not outrun its own desires. Stays within its own form, yet is moving towards its own refreshing. It's, can we rest in the movement of the water, trusting that the wisdom of where to go next will come? And I'm aware of this sort of somewhat paradoxical invitation of resting in this flow. A surrender to the impermanence that things are always changing. Okay, then can we just rest here? To feel the current of the water element within this body, with the inevitable current of our life and the changes within our life. Some predictable, many not. Some wanted, some not. But that this is the natural course of our life. If you're game to play a little bit more here in this guided meditation, I'm going to ask each of us to call to mind an area of a challenge. And it does not need to be capital C challenge, the most challenging thing in your life, but something where there's a little bit of an edge or a little bit of a charge. Kind of feel into how you've been relating to this challenge. If there's a shutting down or an anxious place, or how the fear, if there's fear present, how that moves in the body. An increase of energy or a shutting down. Just to kind of do a body scan when you call to mind or feel into the nature of this challenge. Is there a quickening of the heart, a clenching in the gut, a furrowing of the brows? Again, just gently being curious, like, oh, when I think of this situation, this happens in the body. Okay. And then what might it be like to invite in this water element, the water that can really move through anything, carves out canyons, right? With time and patience, it goes anywhere. You know, water between rocks, it finds its way to the source. There's a constant sense of movement of the water. Water has its own intelligence in how it moves. Can we align ourselves with our own intelligence around this challenge? And just to see if it's helpful, if we really allow ourselves, well, surrender to the movement of the water element in response to this particular challenge. We're not stuck. Yeah. Inviting in the sense of the cleverness of water to find a way through. Yeah. And again, aligning or allowing this element to be an ally as we navigate or negotiate this challenge. And again, letting yourself really play with being on a current, sort of surrendering to a gentle movement of the current. You will find your way through. Trusting in your own goodness, trusting in your own wisdom. I'm going to stop there. And thank you for your kind attention.